Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of our headquarters here in beautiful CBS Sports Radio New York City, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on this Tuesday as we welcome you in, whether it's SiriusXM Channel 206, your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, or the radio.com application. 855-212-4CBS, the number that jumps you on in, 855-212-4227. Could always get at me on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb, that's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, or on our networks account at CBS Sports Radio as well. Ryan Trace Hickey along the other way. And as always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Big show today coming up at the top of the hour. We chat Big Ben's return as he did get a victory last night up against the New York Football Giants on Monday Night Football. The first part of a doubleheader. Charlie Batch going to stop on by. And then at 8 p.m. Eastern, how about this? Perfect timing. We scheduled this last week. Christian Wilkins from the Miami Dolphins is going to drop by at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Christian Wilkins in game number one up against the Pats. Pats that get the victory in Cam's debut in Foxborough. He had 6 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and also a quarterback sack. But after the game, he was one of the players that got into it with Cam Newton. So we will try to tap into a little bit of Christian Wilkins, who has a great story with what he does on the field and off the field. We'll talk about that as well. But I'm going to try to get some answers on this whole Cam situation, which I think a lot's being made out of it. And I'm curious what actually did happen. So we'll chat about that. Sports-wise, tonight, you have a potential Stanley Cup final that we'll know by the end of the night. Last night, the Dallas Stars did take down the Vegas Knights. Tonight, the New York Islanders are trying to stave off elimination. They are in a Game 5 down 3-1 up against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Lightning try to punch their ticket to a Stanley Cup final. Hoops, you got the Eastern Conference Finals underway. That's going to get going at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Miami against Boston. Just like we all predicted it before the start of the season, yeah, you're missing Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks because the Heat, they did a great job up against the Bucks in the last round and the Celtics. That series should not have gone 7 games. It did go 7 games. Celtics had problems closing out games late up against Miami, which made it go to a 7th game. With the way that Jason Tatum's playing right now, and I don't want to diminish anything with what Jimmy Butler's doing and what that Miami Heat team is doing, led by Pat Riley and also Eric Spoelstra, I have a tough time betting against Jason Tatum. So I go Celtics, and I would like to see it go 7. I have a feeling this is going to be a 6-game series where the Celtics do go to an NBA Finals. And tonight in the NBA as well, when you go out to the Western Conference, you have a Game 7. Lakers are already through. They're waiting in the Western Conference Finals, and their way to see who their opponent is. You had this Clippers team. They were up 3-1, and they blew a big lead in Game 5, blew a big game in Game 6, a big lead in Game 6, and now we are here in a Game 7. So, hey, the Clippers should win. I would not mind seeing the Nuggets win, but then part of me also says, wouldn't you want to see LeBron and Anthony Davis go up against Kawhi Leonard and Paul George? But I've really had a fun time watching this Nuggets team the last few weeks inside the bubble. Even though Michael Porter Jr., now he's backed it up, I didn't love the talking that he did after one of the losses. That team, though, they have been different, and they have a nice you know, trifecta, a nice trio of players here for the future with Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, and then the emergence of Michael Porter Jr. that we've been seeing inside the bubble. So I have a feeling the Clippers win tonight. All the pressure's on Kawhi, though. We got to see what Kawhi Leonard's made out of. Now, I say that and you go, Zach, like, slow down a second. Yeah, it does sound like a ridiculous statement when I speak it into the microphone. However, all the other times with Kawhi Leonard, and I'm not taking anything away from Kawhi. The dude is a dog. The dude is unbelievable. The dude is a great player. All the other times, though, the pressure wasn't really on him. You look at the championship that he won, his first Finals MVP. Who was picking Kawhi Leonard to be a major player in that series? Who was picking him to be a Finals MVP? No one. You know, all that talk was about Wade and LeBron and the big three with the Heat. And you also had the talk about the Spurs being centered around Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker. And the best player that ended up happening in that series was Kawhi Leonard. So that really was the national emergence for Kawhi Leonard. And then last year, even though he won another Finals MVP, going into the season, not many people gave the Toronto Raptors much of a shot to win a championship. Like, they could be in the picture, but no one actually thought they were going to win the whole thing. So now, this is the first time where he's been the guy, and he's been the guy on a team that is expected to win a championship. This is championship or bust this year for the LA Clippers. So even though Kawhi has been a big-time player, and planet players make planet plays, and he showed up over and over and over again on the big stage, I'm curious to see what type of Kawhi Leonard we get tonight and what type of Paul George we get tonight. And for Paul George, this is the biggest game of his career. And for Kawhi Leonard, I'm not going to say it's the biggest game of his career because this is a guy that's won two NBA championships and two Finals MVP awards. However, this is the most pressure that Kawhi Leonard has faced in his career so far. Now, that's the way I would word it, that this is the most high-pressured situation because the other two times when he won it all, not to take away from it, the dude was great. He was unbelievable. However, with that being said, they weren't situations where you were expected to win. And now you are expected to get to, at a bare minimum, the Western Conference Finals and go up against the Los Angeles Lakers. So I think we'll have some fun tonight. It wouldn't surprise me if the Clippers win by 6-7 points. And then I think Boston-Miami, those are going to be fun games. I just have a feeling the Celtics do win tonight. So we'll keep you up to date on that. But let's start with the football, and let's start from last night. So good to see Big Ben back on the football field. He played well, tossed three touchdown passes. It's impossible, though, when you're watching Ben play, especially early, where it looked like he got banged up a bit when they were showing him that shot on the sideline. You look at the style that Ben plays and just his career with the way that Ben plays. This guy usually misses like a game or two a year, it feels like. And last year, he missed basically every game, played the first game up against the Pats, and the second game of the season, that's where he suffered the injury. So I look at the Steelers game from last night, and Juju, you could tell, is like a fat kid in a candy store seeing Big Ben back because he doesn't have to deal with Duck Hodges or Mason Rudolph anymore. So you're going to see a production from Juju Smith-Schuster that is going to be at a good level. Now, Juju's a good receiver. We're still trying to figure out, though, is Juju a one or is he a two? And when we come to the wide receiving world of rankings, and that's something that's still unknown. And Juju last night gives you, what, six receptions, 70 yards, had two touchdowns, got a touchdown late. You could see, though, where Juju is when he has Ben playing and Ben at the quarterback position. And, yeah, that's an obvious statement because you put Ben out there compared to Dalvin Hodges or also Mason Rudolph, it's night and day. It's not even close. Even if Ben is not even able to get back to 100% of what Ben used to be. Like, let's say you get 80, 75% of the old Ben, that's still going to be 100% better than something that you've seen from Duck Hodges last year or Mason Rudolph. So it was good to see that offense clicking with Ben leading the way. James Conner got hurt. James Conner, that's kind of been the story with him. He always does get hurt When he was in the game, he had 6 carries for 9 yards. The kid I was impressed with, and I've been a big fan of him going back to Kentucky. I remember doing an interview with him when I hosted the weekend overnight shows here on CBS Sports Radio. That's Benny Snell. You listen to that dude speak, and his personality, his determination, his desire to win is really infectious. And that was someone that I liked at Kentucky. He was on that team coached by Stoops, and you had Josh Allen on that team as well on the defensive side of the ball. So you had some pretty big names there with Allen and Benny Snell at Kentucky. And you get to see what Benny Snell did last night. He stepped up and delivered. 19 carries, a buck 13. And James Conner, I guess, is going to be available for the Steelers' next game. It looks like, though, the majority of the carries probably for week two, with the health of one James Conner up in the air, are going to go through Benny Snell, and they should with the way that Benny Snell did play last night. Now, the Steelers suffered an injury. Zach Banner, their right tackle, he's done for the year with the torn ACL. But we're just talking about the offense with Pittsburgh, because I get it, it's a sexy thing. Ben comes back. You got to spend a few minutes talking about Ben and Ben looking good and wondering if Ben can stay healthy for the entire season. The biggest takeaway, once again, and this was the biggest takeaway last year for the Steelers, and I think it's the biggest takeaway this year. This defense is damn good. They are damn impressive. Now, Cam Hayward getting an interception last night. TJ Watt getting an interception last night. Minka Fitzpatrick's a good player. Terrell Edmonds is a good player. Devin Bush had 7 tackles in the game. Joe Hayden did a nice job. Vince Williams gets you 3 tackles for loss. You just have so many weapons and so many guys. You know, this team had 11.5 tackles for loss last night. And you had 2 defensive linemen getting interceptions. This defense last year, with no quarterback, with no identity on offense, that defense carried the Steelers last year to an 8-8 record. And now you sit there, you have Ben, and even if this isn't Ben of a few years ago, this version of Ben is good enough just as long as he stays healthy. So I like the Steelers this year. I think the Steelers are good. You look at the AFC, clearly it starts with Kansas City and Baltimore. However, then you try to figure out who's that third team in the AFC. And when I ask that question, and I've asked it before the start of the season, I ask it now, we even brought it up to Mike Tirico, you kind of get the hubbada, 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 and you're trying to think of a team, and you don't love any of these teams. Like, if you want to tell me Buffalo, I think Buffalo is a good team. I don't think they're a great team. And, yeah, they beat the Jets by 10. Whip the damn dude. Josh Allen has to stop fumbling the football. If you want to buy into the Pats and Cam after one game, hey, I'm a Patriot fan. I'm not even buying into that this team is in the Super Bowl conversation. I don't buy into that. Great secondary, front 7 questionable, offense, not a lot of star presence, and can Cam survive the entire season? You know, this will be a big test for the Pats on Sunday night going into Seattle. I know there's no fans, so you go, okay, what does it mean going into Seattle? You're playing a good football team, though, in Seattle. If you're close, you're competitive. I'm not even saying you have to win the game. Let's say it's a 27-23 type of game and you lose it as Russ drives down the field late, then maybe you'll get more people believing in the Pats. Like, you're looking at the third best team in the AFC. I don't love the Chargers. Chargers have some talent. Don't trust their quarterback situation. You look at maybe the AFC South. Do you want to go with Tennessee? Was anyone thrilled with Tennessee's performance last night? No, but that's how they win games. Houston and the Colts, they're 0-1. You could survive that. However, those were two really insipid performances by both the Texans and the Colts. So if you're making me pick the third best team in the AFC, it's not another division winner, assuming that the Chiefs, and I think that's a fair assumption, are going to win the AFC West, and assuming that the Ravens win the AFC North. I look at the Steelers. I think the Steelers are the third best team in the AFC, and usually we look at Pittsburgh, and it depends on the year. Like, some years it's their defense, some years it's their offense. But for a while, it was the defense got to be up to par with the offense, because the offense for a while had Ben, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Clown Brown. Now, it's a little bit different, where you have Ben coming off an injury, James Conner can't stay healthy, and we don't think Juju's dominant, but Juju isn't bad. He's just a good, very good player. So if that offense, with Ben being there, and I keep on saying, if he could just stay healthy, that team should win 10 games this year. Just solely based off the defense and also the health of the quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. So I think the Steelers are the third best team in the AFC. And since I brought up two other AFC teams in Tennessee and they played the Broncos last night, I have to get this off my chest right out of the gate. Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur in the first game of the season could not have had a worse coaching job. I don't get what they are thinking. I don't get what they are doing. That was a winnable game last night. You did a good job defensively, even without Von Miller, you know, since he's done for the season. You did a good job containing Derrick Henry. You could have picked off Tannehill, it seemed like, two, three times. It's amazing how he didn't have an interception in the game. I know one got negated because of a penalty. But that was not an impressive performance by Tennessee and Gostkowski. I feel bad for Gostkowski. The end is here. I know he hit the game winner. You better hit that game winner. It was a chip shot. Gostkowski missing left and right last night. At least he didn't pull his calf and grab his calf like the kicker did for the Cincinnati Bengals, Bullock. However, I'm watching that Tennessee game last night up against the Broncos. I look at Tennessee, I go, you know, it's not sexy. It's not great. I don't love that team this year. I don't trust Tannehill. They have a good defense. With that being said, though, they just find a way to win. However, last night, the Broncos coaching staff should be embarrassed. Hey, you look at the first half, Noah Fant was great. Noah Fant at times in the first half, he was like channeling his inner Rob Gronkowski, wearing 87, spiking the football, providing a lot of energy. Like, he had 16 fantasy points at the end of the first half. I think it was like 80-something yards and a touchdown. So without Sutton, since he's hurt right now, with Jerry Jeudy, who's a good player, but dropping the football last night, and Philip Lindsay getting hurt in the game, why wouldn't you target Noah Fant in the second half with the first half that he had? The Broncos didn't do that. I think it was one pass in the second half that was late in the game that was intended to Noah Fant. So that's gripe number one. And I'm not done there. Because Pat Shurmur, you have to get the ball to Noah Fant in the second half. You didn't. So then I go to Shurmur and Fangio. You are up late. I know you're only up by one, but you're up late. And you go three and out in a minute and 1 second. Can you chew the clock a little bit? Can you waste the clock there? Instead, you go with the young quarterback, pass, run, pass. Minute 01, you give the ball back to Tennessee. Tennessee, then late in the game, driving. Tennessee, I get it, their kicker stunk. But if you get them down to like the 5 or 10-yard line, you could have the worst kicking performance of your life. You could see this coming from a mile away that Gostkowski was going to hit the game-winning field goal. So after, you know, there's about 40 seconds left, Tennessee ends up taking a timeout with like 31, 32 seconds left. If you're Vic Fangio, you call that timeout right away. Because if you're settling for a field goal in Tennessee, you go up by two. If you have some time, you get a few passes, and you have some more clock, and then McManus has a monster leg. Instead, Fangio and Shurmur go, yeah, we're not calling any timeouts. That one's on Fangio. I know I've been killing Shurmur. But Fangio doesn't call any timeouts and basically lets the clock bleed out. And Tennessee kicks a chip shot field goal and they win. So last night, hey, I get it. If you're a Titans fan, your biggest takeaway is going to be kicking game's got to be better. Maybe the game's not even close. If you're a Broncos fan, you have to be irate today because you have talent. You have some young talent, but your coaching staff, Shurmur, it was embarrassing, and the head coach, Vic Fangio, embarrassing as well. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
That's right. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And as it just said, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, as always, is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Trace, I got to run something by you here. And I think you're the perfect person to ask because, you know, you're a pretty calm human being from my interactions with you Do you get crazy at times? Do you get angry at times? Everyone gets angry, but you would agree with that assessment. For the most part, you're pretty happy-go-lucky, positive, and calm.
Yes, I think those descriptions are fair. Absolutely.
Okay. Like, for example, I walk around here, well, when there was actually people here, I would say, you know, do you like Ryan Tracehickey? If I did that, people would say, yeah, of course. I don't think there's too many people that dislike you around here. I'm trying to think.
I hope not. I mean, I try to be nice to everybody.
I don't think there's a person here that would say, oh, Ryan Tracehickey, bad guy. You walk around, say, Zach, yeah, maybe like one or two people would go, I don't like Zach. Or if you bring some other talent into the equation, maybe a lot more people will go, yeah, I don't like that person. So here's what I want to ask you. If, let's say your contract was up, and let's say you're a popular guy in the locker room, for example, like what Allen Robinson is, and you're playing out your contract, you're working here at CBS Sports Radio, you're frustrated, though, that management has not given you the deal that you deserve. You're frustrated that you haven't got a contract extension. Would you ever take to social media? And would you ever go to Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever it may be? I start to sound like Belichick when I mention Snapchat, when he calls it Snapface. But would you ever go to social media and go right through all of your old posts and take down any photos of Ryan Hickey with any CBS Sports Radio logos or anything that is directed at the station, and then take out of your bio, like, Ryan Tracehickey, one of the executive producers here at CBS Sports Radio?
No. I feel like that's way too much energy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not digging through my old tweets or searching my name and typing in Bears, so, like, any Bears tweets or I've had in the past deleting. You obviously, if you're frustrated, the team knows you're frustrated. The front office knows you're frustrated. I don't think to kind of get your message across, taking Bears out of your Twitter profile or deleting all pictures of you in a Chicago uniform is going to be the thing that kind of puts it over the edge. Say, you know what? Now we have to give this man a contract. Now, okay, fine. He's really upset with us now. He's taking his social media and wiping our name from his profile. So, no, I would not do that if I was in Allen Robinson's situation.
I'm going to take it a step further to try to relate this to an everyday man. And I know that, you know, sources tell me that you are quite the ladies' man and you've had quite a few girlfriends throughout the years. When you broke up with whatever girlfriend it was, did you then go through your Instagram and delete any pictures in the past? Because that's something that a lot of people do. And I sit back and I go, you know, that's part of your life. It doesn't erase it. You still have to deal with whatever comes after that. So to just go through all your Instagram, and I get it's a little bit different with the job compared to the girlfriend. But like, are you someone that when you break up with a significant other that you take down all the old pictures?
So it's funny you say that.
That's a yes.
It's funny you say that. I was on your side. I would laugh at all my friends and people I would follow that, especially if they date them for a year, two, 3 years, a ton of pictures. And then you, all of a sudden you go through their feed one day and just wiped clean.
Mm-hmm.
I laugh at that. Now, at the same time, I had a previous girlfriend. I only had one picture up. And I left it up for a while. And after a while, I just got to the point where I was like, you know what? I had one picture with the girl. We didn't really date that long. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to delete it. It's just easier, I feel like. So that's...
How long were you dating this girl?
Like 5 months.
So 5 months and you're already in the mushy-mushy... 5 months is a long time, but you're already in the mushy-mushy post on Instagram about that?
No, mushy. It was just like, you know, a beach trip, you know.
Gotcha.
Because now you have to put a picture up to make it official.
Actually, I know the picture. You wearing sunglasses at the beach?
Yes, exactly.
With a tank top?
No shirt on.
Oh, no shirt on. Uh-oh.
I kind of like the picture. I can't lie. I left it up for a while, in part for that reason.
So you get a crop out?
I should. I really should have like deleted that and then repost it. Like,
well, it's funny you say that because at my sister's wedding last year, one of my cousins was dating someone, and we thought this was going to potentially go into, you know, marriage. And when you're taking family pictures, she was in the picture. Then they broke up. So now we're waiting for my sister's wedding photos, which it's been over a year. I don't know why we haven't fully got all the photos yet. I guess they do certain deals and albums and whatever. Like, we've seen pictures, but they're waiting for the album to come in. And now they're trying to, through all the technology, crop out my cousin's old girlfriend because she's in some of the family pictures. But the point I'm making here is, if I'm Allen Robinson, and when I saw this today, that he's still under contract. This is the final year of his deal. He wants a new deal. If I'm Allen Robinson, you're right. I'm not going through all that time and effort to take the Bears out of my social media profile, delete any pictures of me or him in a Bears uniform. It's just too much work. And I always find it funny, and I like Allen Robinson. I've been a big supporter of his. I said it before the season. This dude just does not get enough credit. You look what he's done. He produced at Penn State with Christian Sackenberg. You saw him produce in Jacksonville with Blake Bortles. You're seeing him produce right now in Chicago with Mitch Trubisky. And if I'm him, like, he's a good player, seems like a really good guy, because you're not getting a contract now. The team that you're still showing up on, you're going to go through and be in a petulant way, like, let me delete everything. Like, what point does that show? And now there's a report that he's requested a trade. So I guess this is getting really ugly. But I always just find it funny now how that's even a story. So-and-so unfollowed the team from Instagram, or so-and-so deleted this photo. Who keeps track of all this stuff? I know everyone's crazy on the internet, but I've seen times where a player's unfollowed someone. I go, how'd you know for sure that he was following them before? Or how'd you know that he deleted some photo from back in 2019 when he was wearing the team's jersey and his team's uniform? So I think it's just part of life. Now, everything you put up on social media, you don't want to keep up on social media. Sometimes you get caught up in the moment. To do so right now, though, what happens if they end up giving you a contract? Yeah, then you get what you want. And maybe you don't care about the photos being up there anyway. It just seems all dumb and trivial to me. It does. And I'll tell you right now, I've been in contract negotiations before, and I've been at companies and I've left companies. I don't ever see myself, when I leave a company, going back and saying, you know what, now I got to erase that from the public memory. So I think the whole thing's ridiculous. And now you start to think, where could Allen Robinson wind up? Now, they don't have to trade him. He's still under contract for this season, had a good game the other day. So I don't think it behooves the Bears to trade him, and you wouldn't be doing any favors to a young quarterback that needs all the help that he could get in one Mitch Trubisky. But if they do say, okay, we're going to trade you, maybe you look at some teams that could be interested. You know, if I'm Washington, you need more wide receivers, go help out a young quarterback in Dwayne Haskins. If I'm the Jets, do what the Bills did in this offseason. They went out and got Josh Allen, a Stephon Diggs. Maybe you go out and get him an Allen Robinson. The Pats, they have a lot of cap space. That'd be fun. You go team up Cam and Allen Robinson. Eagles, they could use some help at the wide receiving position, not knowing what Jalen Reagor is. DeSean Jackson, another year older, coming off an injury. Alshon Jeffrey hurt. So those are some teams that jump out right away. But then I'll give you three more. And two could have a shot. One has no shot. The team that has no shot is Green Bay. They're inside the same division. They'll have to give up an arm and a leg to get Allen Robinson. That would be fun, though. And you would do right by your quarterback and Aaron Rodgers with the way that you treated him in this offseason and aren't getting him enough help. And still, he gave you the middle finger on Sunday and still showed you that, okay, you don't get me help, I'll still find a way to throw four touchdowns and just be an absolute stud on the football field. But the other two teams that really stand out to me, and these are Super Bowl teams, I know they just lost to the Cardinals, but the 49ers need some wide receiving help. You know, I know we look at the 49ers, like, look at Kyle Shanahan. They have a good offensive line. If Kittle gets hurt, and we've seen him dealing with an injury now, who are you throwing the football to? Debo's out. Ayuk's out. Who are you throwing the football to? So if you could go be San Francisco, a team that has a window to go win some championship here, I would go give up a draft pick for Allen Robinson. I'd give up a high draft pick for Allen Robinson and go extend him. And then the other name I'll throw out there, Baltimore. Isn't it amazing? With how good Lamar Jackson is, how good that defense is, they could even upgrade that wide receiving position. And Allen Robinson would be a tremendous addition for the Baltimore Ravens. So those are some of the names that I look at and some of the teams that I look at that could be finding a home, a new home for one Allen Robinson. And maybe the Bears still get a deal done. But Allen, like, in the world that we're living in right now, you don't have to go on social media and pull the Ryan Trace hickey when he breaks up with the girlfriend or when someone changes jobs and then delete everything from the past. And heck, you're still on the team. You're still on the Bears right now. You may no longer want to be on the Bears right now, but I never get why you unfollow a team when you get mad at them, or if you simply just take down all the pictures. I don't get it. Maybe he has all those pictures stored on a flash drive or something, or stored on a folder in his computer just in case if he does end up getting an extension from the Chicago Bears. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take some phone calls when we come on back and see a few people online. Also, when we come on back, how about Matt Patricia? Man, your team was a disaster in the fourth quarter. And as bad as they were in the fourth quarter, it was something he said in a post-game press conference that has me livid. I'll tell you what it is when we return.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Mohamed Sanu, he has a new home. He's signing a one-year deal with the 49ers, who are in need of wide receiving help. I don't know what to expect out of Mohamed Sanu. He's a player that you once used to see a lot of potential. Falcons get rid of him. They actually got a second-round pick back from the Patriots for him. That's a terrible Belichick trade. I know there was a need. You had Brady on the way out. You wanted to salvage the season because you lost Antonio Brown. You need another weapon there. And Mohamed Sanu got banged up early and then was a disaster, an absolute disaster with the Pats. He didn't even make the roster this year. And it's not like the Patriots have a bevy of skill position players. So you're going to see Sanu going to the 49ers. They need wide receiving help. And I even said in the last segment, maybe they go make a move for Allen Robinson, who now we think wants out of Chicago because he took all the photos down of him in Bears uniforms and in uniform, removed the Bears from a social media profile. And it looks like he requested a trade. Now, on the contrary, Adam Schefter just tweeted this out. Brandon Parker, who's the agent for Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson, said he and his client have not requested a trade. However, Robinson, who is in the last year of his contract, is unhappy that Chicago has been unwilling to pay him market value for wide receivers. Yeah, I don't really believe you. I don't believe you that you haven't requested a trade. Now, with that being said, though, here's some of the social media posts from Allen Robinson over the last few days. He tweeted out some song lyrics. I do not forget a thing. I'm patient. It's a gift. All right, so you don't forget a thing. That's implying that you're upset with something, but then you're saying you're patient. So when I see that tweet, I'm thinking, okay, he's upset, but he thinks he'll eventually get rewarded. Then there was this tweet. I think it was from yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. I've been moving calm. Don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me. Now, that's him sending a warning message of, hey, I'm keeping it calm. You don't want to mess with me. Give me what I want. So I have a feeling this is going to end ugly. Does it end ugly this season? You could slap him with the franchise tag, then try to trade him to get something back. You know, I guess that is a possibility. But unless if I'm getting something of significance, if I'm the Bears, I'm not trading him for nothing. You know, I'm not trading him for, you know, just the sake of trading him, because you got to do right by your young quarterback. Even though I don't think much of Mitch Trubisky, you got to do right by him. And right now, you guys, even though I don't think this is sustainable with the Bears, you are 1-0, and Robinson did play well the other day. Let's take a few phone calls here before we get to this Matt Patricia audio. Let's go to Douglas in Michigan. He's next up on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Doug?
Hi there. As far as Allen Robinson, I don't feel too sorry for someone making, you know, $13 million a year. And he's had a couple subpar years when he was with Jacksonville. I know one of them was when he was hurt. But he wants to be paid like a top five receiver, and he's not. He's not made a Pro Bowl except when he was named in 2016 when Calvin Johnson had skipped that because of injury or whatnot. So I guess I don't understand. I understand why he's doing it. He had an ACL injury before. But at the same time, he's also got to be realistic enough to know that the team knows that he already got hurt. And you got to be, like, realistic as far as what you're looking for.
Yeah, I think his base salary this year is, like, about $11 million, Doug. So maybe he wants a few extra million. I would imagine it's about the stability and the long-term assurance. Like you said, he's had the injuries. But this dude's a good wide receiver. He is. In 2015, he put up 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns in Jacksonville. And he's never played with a great quarterback. And in Chicago last year with Trubisky, who couldn't find anyone's area code, he had 98 receptions and almost a little over 1,100 yards. So this is a good wide receiver. And he's got to stay healthy. Here's the something I read, though. I think it was My Sports Update had this. They had a quote from Allen Robinson when he elected to sign with the Bears. Trace, I don't know if you saw this. Do you know the team that it was between? It was the Bears and another team. Do you know what that team and who that team was? Because, you know, part of me does say all he does is play with bad quarterbacks. Then I'm going to tell you the team and you go, wow, life would have been a whole lot different if he did go there.
I'm going to guess, would it be the Houston Texans?
No. Same conference. That's the hint. Let's see if Trace could just
the
pull
Pittsburgh
another rabbit
Steelers.
Out of his hat. No. Same conference as the Bears.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant same conference as the Texans. Good quarterback. Seattle?
Nope. I'll tell you who it is.
Okay, who is it?
Packers.
Oh.
It was supposedly between the Packers and the Bears. You go to Green Bay, you team up Devontae Adams and Allen Robinson. Think about how different that would have been. And this was when he signed with Chicago back in 2018. We're not having this conversation now about the Packers not having a number two, because Allen Robinson would be a heck of a number two option. So you would have Lazard, Marquez Valdez-Scantling being three and fours, and Devontae Adams, and then also Allen Robinson would be a two. That'd be your 1-2. Those would be some weapons for one Aaron Rodgers. Let's go to Kevin in North Carolina. He's next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, Zach, how you doing?
Doing great,
so,
Kevin.
I need some encouragement. So I watched the Rams and the Cowboys game last night.
Are you a Cowboys fan?
I do believe
fan?
That the game ball should go, you know, to the coach, you know, McVay. I mean, he totally outcoached McCarthy, but I just need some encouragement as a Cowboys fan.
All right, I'll give you the encouragement right now. After one game, Washington is leading the division. Eagles loss and the Giants loss, and the Eagles blew a 17-point lead. They allowed 27 unanswered in the NFC East to the Washington football team that has zero offense. However, your team, though, I think they were going to win the division going into this year. I still think they will. But that offense, with new coach, all right, Garrett out, McCarthy in, everything's going to be changed. They were putrid offensively. It was embarrassing. But what are you doing if you're McCarthy, not tying up the game and taking that field goal? Make it 20-20. Instead, you're running on 3rd and 6, and then CeeDee Lamb runs a bad route, and the ball's thrown short of the sticks, and you get no points there. And then late in the game, That was Andy Reid clock management with Donovan McNabb in a big playoff game. Take your time, dilly-dally. Let's look at the stars. Let's look around. Oh, this is great. We're in the National Football League. You got to have more urgency there. You left it up to one play, and then the officials, they shouldn't have called it back, but they did call it back. You got hit with the injury bug, too. This offensive line for Dallas, it's good. It's not as good as it once was. But the injury bug really did hurt them. Jarwin now done for the season, and Leighton Van Der Esch going to miss some time, too. All right, I got to play some audio, though, for you as we transition from the Cowboys. Here would be your pep talk, as I'll be the therapist today on CBS Sports Radio. You have the most talent in the division. Now, here, Cowboys fan, you go, we had the most talent in the division last year, and it didn't pan out. And it's only one game, but that's bad. That's bad. You play the Falcons this week. Ugh. You better win that game. There's probably going to be a lot of points. Hey, at least there'll be some points in that game this week. Alden Smith did look good, though, for Dallas, too. He could be a dark horse for comeback player of the year. Anyway, though, I got to talk to some Lions fans. Because if you want me to give you words of encouragement, that's not going to be me today if you're a Detroit Lions fan. You're up big. 24-6, 23-6, whatever it was in the fourth quarter. You allow Mitch stinking Trubisky to score 3 fourth quarter touchdowns and you lose the game. And then even insult to injury, you could have won the game even after blowing it. DeAndre Swift, your rookie, dropped the football. So that's as bad as it could get. I don't believe in Matt Patricia as a head coach. I thought he was terrible last year. I know he lost his quarterback, but maybe he could save his job this year. Here's the arrogance of Matt Patricia after this game. Listen up. As unbelievable as it was that the Lions blew that game, this is even more unbelievable.
Throughout really your tenure here, you've had fourth quarter leads and lost them. Is there something in your coaching that maybe isn't happening enough in the fourth quarter for you to close out games?
Yeah, I don't think so, Mike. I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL where I think I did a pretty good job. So I don't think it's that. I think we all know what the individual games are. We got to do a better job. I mean, we've got a team right now that's different than the previous 2 years. This team is different. They're different players, and they have a different mindset. You know, we look, no excuses. Give the Bears credit. You know, they did what they did, and they executed, and they scored, and they won, and we didn't. But, you know, I'm not looking back. We're looking forward, and we're trying to make sure that this team that we're building on, you know, understands these situations, and we got to come through better than what we did before.
Patricia, first off, no one in Detroit cares about what you did as a defensive coordinator, where he's talking about the Malcolm Butler play at the goal line up against the Seahawks. They only care about what you do as a Detroit Lions head coach. And you can't bring up something from the past and then talk about when you're asked about your past in Detroit and go, oh, we're not looking at the past. We're only going ahead to the future and moving forward with this group. That is some of the more arrogant, hypocritical stuff that I'm ever going to see. To basically tell you how great of a defensive mind I am and how my team's finished, I'm going to bring up a play from the past, but then when a reporter brings up a play from the past that doesn't go in your favor, oh, we're not talking about the past. That's Matt Patricia trying to be like Belichick, except he doesn't have a ring as a head coach. He doesn't even have a playoff appearance as a head coach. I don't even think he's been above 500 as a head coach. There's one thing to be arrogant. There's another thing to be stupid. He was arrogant and stupid in that answer. Well, it's a Zach Gelb show. We're not going to talk about the past. We're only going to talk about the future. Charlie Batch, he joins us next, coming up in 5 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.